This is the Dreamers Podcast, where dreamers share their stories to inspire you. Now, join host Joe Pardo as he interviews a dreamer who's living their dreams.
Welcome to the Dreamers Podcast. I'm your host, Joe Pardo, and today I am interviewing Farnoosh Brock, who is living her dream through entrepreneurship. Welcome to the show, Farnoosh.
Hey, it's nice to be here. Thanks for having me.
Not a problem. I appreciate you taking the time.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Let's get started with some background about yourself.
All right. Well, I wasn't born an entrepreneur, and I certainly didn't spend all my time being an entrepreneur. So I have a background in engineering and then a successful career in corporate in a large company in Silicon Valley. So I was in technology, and I did a lot of different things in my corporate job, from engineer, project manager, customer support, executive communications, sales operations, you name it. But I was losing interest, if you will, over the years. And I always wanted to climb the corporate ladder, but I realized one day I don't really want that anymore. And it was a really interesting journey because I fell into blogging and I went to Blog World 2010 Las Vegas conference, which changed the direction of my life. And I started taking my blog really seriously, and I started building my business, I think around 2010, if you will. And so then I quit my job in 2011. And it wasn't just like, okay, one day I decided I'm going to quit. So I quit my job in March of 2011. But it wasn't like one day I woke up and I decided I'm going to quit tomorrow. As you can imagine, it was a process. And it was something that had been building up over the years. And especially the months following the Blog World conference, which had a huge impact on the way I thought about myself and building a business and my career and just my professional direction. It was really transformative. In its true sense of the word. I quit my job in 2011 and I started focusing full time on building my online business, writing books, growing my blog, and creating online products and courses, and growing my coaching program. And it's been so much fun and so much hard work. And my brother, my younger brother, was working with me for a while, but then he had to move on. And my husband, who was working full-time at the time, he came in to help me part-time with some of the technical aspects, even though I'm an engineer. I just didn't want to do the technical stuff. And then in December of 2012, we decided that he was also going to leave his cushy job and we were going to take this entrepreneurship dream to the ultimate level for us, because it's a big step to move away from a lifetime of being an employee, if you will, to doing something so different. And so that's the background in a nutshell. I mean, we've been working together now for a year and a half. It's been amazing. There were some growing pains, and we had to kind of find our groove of working together and staying married and happy and all that. But it's been wonderful, and we travel a lot. We love growing our business and making a difference and really feeling that we are serving a purpose in our professional lives now. Whereas in corporate, we had kind of lost touch with that sense of purpose and direction. So it feels just so much more gratifying to live this way.
What exactly does your company do?
So my company is Prolific Living, Inc., and we provide personal growth, personal development content, anything from positive affirmations, confidence building, and helping professionals who are frustrated in their careers. So I work with both people who are in the corporate world, which is where I was, and they really want to stay there and have a happy, fulfilling, and rewarding career, and maybe move up the corporate ladder, maybe double their income, maybe have a lot more influence. And I help them figure that out, because I'm actually very good at that. And I did that a lot when I was at corporate. And it's an area I have a lot of passion for, because I didn't have the resources when I was younger. So that's one area I help people. And then the other one we focus on is for the same type of corporate environment, but people who are actually considering taking a different direction. So maybe they wake up and they realize, oh my God, I really don't know if I want to stay an employee for the rest of my life. And so they get the itch for starting their own business. And so they have to make that very difficult transition from being an employee, thinking like an employee, to becoming an entrepreneur. And I think that resource was very hard to find. It was not available. There's lots of resources out there that show you how to start a business, how to do a startup, how to write a book, how to do anything you want. But the transition to go from thinking like an employee to thinking like an entrepreneur, which is really the foundation I think you need to be successful, that's what I help people with when they are going through that process.
So what does entrepreneurship mean to you?
To me, it means ultimate freedom and ultimate responsibility at the same time. Because if I think back to my corporate life, employment, which is to me the opposite of entrepreneurship, I felt like I didn't have the freedom, even though I had lots of freedom within my job. I worked from home. I had a boss in California. I had lots of flexibility and lots of perks, but I still didn't have the freedom to say, oh, I don't want to work on this project, or I don't want to run this report, or I want to work on something else. That to me, deciding what you want to do with your creative genius, which I think all of us have, that is ultimate freedom. And you just can't afford to have that when you work for a company because you are aligned to the company's mission and not your own. Now, if you're lucky, they're the same thing. You really want to be a part of the company and grow it. And that's great. But for me, they were completely out of alignment. So coming into entrepreneurship means I decided 3 weeks ago, I'm going to create this brand new product. And so my mastermind and I have a challenge going, and I'm very excited about it. And I can do that, right? Later in the year, I plan to write another book. I can do that. I don't need anybody's permission. I don't need anybody's approval. And at the same time, if both of them, quote unquote, fail, because there is no such thing as failing, it is still a good experience. But if they don't make a lot of sales or have a lot of impact, then I take total responsibility. I don't blame my boss or my company or my management. And I love that. Just a fusion of freedom and responsibility. I mean, it fits me like a glove. So I don't know about you, Joe, but this was really what I was meant to do.
What would you say inspires you?
Well, the freedom and the responsibility do inspire me. But I love creativity. And it's something that I didn't allow myself to explore, because when I was going through my corporate career, and even before that, when I was in engineering school, I thought to be successful, I need to be this serious, hard worker. And so creativity is, and it's partly my culture too. I'm from Iran and the Middle East, where education is very serious and it's all about math and science and engineering and medicine and nothing like selling or marketing or art or any of that. So to me, if I explored drawing or other things that I loved to do, I would be wasting my time. And now I know that if you keep your creative genius bottled up, you're first of all doing yourself a disservice. And second of all, you're doing the world a disservice. And there is nothing more important than really exploring that. So I love exploring the creative side of myself. It really inspires me. And I love learning from others who have explored their creative side and come up with so much amazing stuff for us that we have access to. So I think just knowing the creative side is there. There's no such thing as not being creative, but there is such a thing as not allowing yourself to be creative or not feeling good about your creativity. And that was a big transition for me. So now I really honor it. I really nurture it and cultivate it. So I think if I had to pick of all the things that inspire me, there's a lot of them. I think exploring my creative genius has been the highest one.
Yeah, I think creativity is really important. And I think it's really important for people to get to express it, even if it's just as a hobby and not as an entrepreneurship.
Right. Yes, because the hobbies could lead to things. And if nothing else, it helps you. It can be therapeutic, like music or yoga. They can be very therapeutic. So if you have a stressful life, it can bring balance and harmony to your life. But you also don't know where it can go. So it's sort of like an adventure. And you definitely need some of that in your life.
How exactly did your dream of becoming an entrepreneur come about? I mean, you kind of alluded to it earlier, but what exactly did it for you?
I mean, the final straw is sort of what I call logistical at this point, where I was put on a project by my company that I didn't want to do. I just, you know, gathered up all the guts and courage to go up to my senior director and say, "Excuse me, John, but I really don't want to do this project. My time and talents are better spent over here." And he said, "No. You can't do that." And then I said, well, I said more things, but then I quit. So really, that was the final straw. You know, I'm making light of it, but it really was. It was the point where I realized, because my values were not aligned to this work I was doing a few years before, that would not have mattered. But at that point in time, when I was blogging, when I was exploring personal growth and just kind of like exploring this other side of me and thinking about growing my blog into a business, this happened. And I had no intention of quitting at the time that I did. I decided I did not want to waste another minute doing work that I don't believe in. So it became very clear what I needed to do. And then it was easy.
So how was it received by your family when you told them, "Hey, I'm quitting my job and I'm going to start my own entrepreneurship"?
Well, they threw me a big party. No. I wish. I think they'll throw me a big party if I tell them I'm going to go get a job tomorrow. Well, my family is very conservative. And my cousin, she's a top psychiatrist in New York City. Not that anybody needs one, but she is. I'm very proud of her. I was visiting her in February and she put it so well when I was telling her how my parents, to answer your question, weren't supportive. They don't understand. Why? Why can't they be happy for me? Blah, blah, blah. And she said, as immigrant parents, right? We immigrated. All of us immigrated to America at different times from Iran. For us, by way of Turkey, where we lived for 3 years. And so for them to see their children as success, it meant to get a good education and then go on and get a great job. And when she put it that way, I understood my parents so much better. So you know what? Maybe they would have liked to see me grow within the company I was in and have a fancy title and all that. But I think that I respect what they think. And I think they have come around. I mean, it's been three years and 2 months. So they have come around and they realize this is making me so much happier, even if they don't understand it. So, and this is a good point because I basically bring up this concept as one of the pillars of success in the course I teach, Smart Exit Blueprint, to people who are making that transition, in that you can't expect your parents and your loved ones to understand, but it also doesn't mean they love you any less. So you have to find this place where you can have a communication, a healthy communication, where you understand how they feel, but you're still going to do this because you are the one responsible for your decisions. They are not going to be there in 10 years when you look in the mirror and you're whatever age and you say, "I should have done it, but they held me back." Nobody is holding you back except yourself. So you don't get to blame them. And that's why you have to take that full responsibility and make your own decisions. And hey, maybe it's going to work out, maybe not, but at least you will know. But I think some of us grow bitter and resentful towards our parents because they don't understand us. Well, there is a generation gap, you know, and they're not supposed to understand us. You know, you're supposed to love each other and support each other. And so I think if you just remove that expectation and look at it from their perspective, but still do what you want to do, it's just going to be such a peaceful, harmonious family environment.
Wow.
You don't agree with that?
No, I do. I mean, it's not easy, though. It's a lot.
It's not easy
to
do.
It's a very easy thing to say and not do. I mean, I live it.
Yeah. Well, we're not talking about easy stuff in any part of this interview. So maybe that should be a little disclaimer at the beginning of your podcast. Nothing we say is easy, but it's truly, truly worth it.
Well, I'll probably use this in the front of the podcast.
There you go.
So what steps did you take once you decided, okay, this corporate ladder thing isn't for me and we're going to move on?
Right. So there was this step of exiting the job and doing it in a professional way and all the logistics of that and how we're going to figure out, because at the time my husband was going to still have his job and we actually happened to work for the same company. So there was the logistical side, how are we going to do the resigning and handing over the projects? So there's that side. If you're thinking about quitting your job, don't forget about that. Don't leave your company high and dry, no matter how you feel about them. So we had to think through that and not tell anyone at my company. This is another thing that I talk about, because until you're certain and until it's time to announce it. And then there's a process of going through announcing it. You first have to tell your direct manager, not your best friend. Your direct manager is the first person that needs to know, and or human resources at the same time, depending on your company. And then they let you know how to spread the word. But that was one side. The other side was, what was I actually going to do, right? I mean, I had a growing blog. I was doing a lot of guest posting. I had a newsletter. I had a free book at the time. And I had just launched my first product, which was, my husband doesn't like to say this, but it was a sort of a failure, right? That product was just a big learning lesson. So that's where I was in my business, making some money from coaching and affiliates, but not really enough to, you know, it wasn't even a fraction of the income that I gave up. And so I had to really think about how I was going to grow my business. So this was before the summertime. I was going to two conferences, Blog World New York, where I actually gave a talk, and then World Domination Summit, the first conference. And so those were really helpful in helping me think through the next steps in my business. And then I went into sort of a product creation book writing mode, as well as growing the business, learning about marketing and selling, and just creating an online presence that I would be proud of. The next thing I did is I started writing books for the Kindle store. I wrote a book on motivation. I created my first product that did pretty well. It's called the 10-Minute Invigorator, to help busy entrepreneurs and people who say, I don't have time for exercise, to basically use this technique I created based on breathing movements invigoration technique that you can do anywhere, in a hotel room, in a little tiny room, you don't need anything. And I went through more of a mature process of launching that product. So every time I created something, I noticed, now looking back, that I had, basically I would be educating myself about everything. And so at the time of launch, I would be using more and more ideas, more and more planning, more testing, more communication with the target market, and it would help increase the sales and create more of a lasting income resource. Then the rest of that year, I started actually getting into my juicing and smoothie business, on which I have two published books now, traditionally published books. But before that, I wrote, and I don't know if you need this level of detail, but I'll tell you this one story too, because this was also transforming. So I had been publishing books to the Kindle store by the time I started getting really serious about my juicing business. And we were actually going to Australia. And I decided in Australia and New Zealand after that I'm going to write a short little juice book, because my readers have been asking for it and I can't find a good one on the affiliate market on ClickBank to recommend. And so I wrote this book while in Australia, and it had so many sales. It was ridiculous. And I was selling it on my website. And then when I came home in January, I put it on the Kindle store. And that book was, it did incredible. You know, I was selling it for $10, selling several hundred copies a month. And it truly showed me the power of creating something useful and using your online platforms well, having some success. I mean, that was really good. That was, and I don't like to get attached to my successes or my failures. I think maybe that did boost my ego, but now it's just a matter of, okay, that did well. It ran its course. It led to other opportunities. Some things didn't do well. I learned from them, but that was really interesting because that led to the publishing deals that later came around. So I was just doing so many different things, you know. I didn't get attached to one thing because I wasn't going to, right? Because if that fails, then I have to do something else, because I'm not going to go back and get a job. You know, you might, but I'm not. That's what I would tell my husband, not you, Joe. That's some of the things that we did. You know, I'm happy to go into detail in any of them, depending on which ones you want to delve into. But it just started growing. And there was a lot of disappointment along the way, too. You know, you get into this comparison game. Why is this person's blog growing faster or this person making so much money? And that's such a waste of time. You just have to get that out of your head and focus on your own journey and on what you're supposed to do with your business and the people you are serving.
When you said you weren't sure if you should share the story yet, but then you did, and that's just an awesome story. I'm so glad that you chose to share it.
Good. Yes. Yeah.
And it walks me right into the next question, which is, what roadblocks have you hit?
The roadblocks. The roadblocks have been, to me, just the slow growth sometimes, right? And also not knowing which direction I want to go. So when I started my blog, I was talking about personal development and personal growth and everything that I was doing in my own life, you know, more health, more fitness, more productivity, more efficiency, learning, education, all of that. Sometimes you look at these blogs that seem to have it really put together or online websites or businesses. You know, this is our mission. This is what we do. And we don't do anything outside of this. You know, we are very clear. And I didn't have that clarity. And that was bothering me for a while. I think I came to a point where I thought, you know what? I want to explore many different avenues. I want to have many different products, many different services, many different niches. And I know I can't do all of them at the same time. I get that. But I can do them over time. So I'm not going to limit myself by saying, oh, I have a business based on productivity, or I have a business based on juicing. Well, that's true, but it's not everything I do. So I think that was a mental block, right? Because it was just holding me back. And I thought, well, I shouldn't do this because that's not really what I'm supposed to do. I just decided, you know, whatever draws my attention and any area where I feel the knowledge, the passion, and the expertise, I'm going to pursue it. And some of them may work out, some of them may not. And all of it falls under the umbrella of living a prolific life. So that was one roadblock. And I think learning and feeling more comfortable with marketing and selling, which is something that I know corporate employees really struggle with, especially those in the technical fields. Because to be honest, you know, in engineering school, we kind of looked down our nose at people who were doing a marketing degree, right? Like, what are you going to do, right? And engineering was this prestigious thing you were supposed to do. And now, you know, those people that understand marketing, you know, I wish I understood it as well as they did. So I had to get over that and learn, really, really learn how to market and sell my products and services in an authentic way. And that has been one of the best journeys, right? I'm still learning. I'm still growing in that area. And I just love it. I really do.
So, I mean, did you ever come to any points where you were like waking up in the middle of the night thinking, what the heck am I doing?
I was. I've had, you really want to get down to like my meltdowns, right?
Well, I mean, they're very important for people that try to take on the world.
No, you're right. You're right. Well, I was trying to keep it positive. But, oh, I mean, you bet. I'm a very emotional person. And I'm so, so, so lucky that my husband has been really supportive. But I also used to be a very negative thinker. Very negative, you know, but I called myself realistic. Every few weeks, I would feel like a complete failure. Like I left something that, you know, at least, you know, and then I was measuring my success by money. And I was making a lot of money in my corporate job. And I left that. So I'm not doing that anymore. I don't have a fancy title or any of that. And I really don't know what I'm doing. Like, I felt like I really, really didn't know, you know, because the people that I, well, used to hang out with, corporate types, you know, if you could tell them, oh, I have a blog, I mean, it doesn't seem like that's not a profession. That's not a career. That's not anything serious. So I had that identity crisis a little bit. I would just feel really frustrated. I had never, ever any doubts about the fact that I am an entrepreneur. I'm going to make this work and I'm never, ever going back to get a job. I mean, that has not changed for a minute. And I didn't miss anything about my job after leaving either. So I knew it was the right thing to do. It's just been hard to make it work, right? And it's just been such a, you know, looking in the mirror and learning about yourself, really. Really understanding that, oh, maybe I'm not half as patient as I thought I was. Maybe I really need to think about things differently. Maybe this product isn't supposed to work, and let me figure out why. I mean, it's been really, really interesting. So I have actually learned those lessons. And when I've blogged about them and talked about them, it's actually, in all irony, helped my business grow, if you know what I mean. So, but to answer your question, yes, of course I have low points. I mean, I had one a few weeks ago where I had a course launch, and I think my course is great, but I also have proof that it works. This is a course to help people get promoted, right? And I just don't have the momentum yet for it. So everyone that's taken the course loves it. They have great results. They get promoted in their job. They get a salary raise, and I'm so excited for them. But I wanted to get more people in there. I wanted to, I have a dream of changing the subculture in corporate America to a more thriving place for those middle employees that get forgotten. And so I have this big mission, and then I can't quite match up the performance of my, for example, that particular launch to the mission. So they seem so far away. And so I just had, like what I call a therapy session with my husband. He becomes the coach. And so I sit on the couch. I'm like, this is just not working. We should just give it up. And then he really talks a lot of sense to me. And I recover quicker. So I notice that is progress, right? In the past, I might have brooded over it for a whole week. But this one, couple of hours, I really felt like, you know what? That's good perspective. We'll keep going. I believe in what I'm doing. And it's just going to take some time. So there you go. Are you going to publish all this online?
The whole, there'll be some edits, but yeah, for the most part.
No, I was kidding. Of course you are. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Could you share a favorite memory?
I have so many. I think I live a very rich life. Our travels are wonderful. I think the most recent may be Scotland. I was there for my birthday. I didn't want to be home, so we kind of leave the country for my birthday. And we were going up Arthur's Seat in Edinburgh, which is this giant hill, a mini mountain in the middle of a city. And I just love thinking about that. It's such a beautiful, vast expanse of greenery. And people are walking with their dogs. And it was a sunny day, which is rare for Scotland. It was just really beautiful. We were just walking and thinking, it's Tuesday morning and most people that I used to be friends with, they're probably at work and that could be me. But here I am in Scotland and in the evening I'm going to work. I had client calls, but in the morning I'm walking up the hill with my husband and it's just, this is exactly the kind of life I dreamt of living and it's great and I'm living it. So things like that, it may not be a big deal, but to me, it's just that freedom to be able to appreciate life and the world, if that interests you, and then also do really, really, really hard work because laziness doesn't interest me, right? Going and sitting on a beach and drinking, I don't do any of those. That doesn't interest me. I think you get your highs from doing great work, from doing the things that are meaningful to you. So that's a favorite memory.
So what do your dreams for the future look like? I mean, you kind of already touched on it a little bit, but go a little more into detail.
Well, I have big visions for some of my work can do, for the impact my work can have, and they're big. So there will be a long journey there. But I really believe that the way you think creates your reality. A lot of people have all the tools. I bet you listening right now, you have all the tools in front of you to make your dreams come true, to create the future that you want, to create the business that you dream about. But you are thinking about it in such a way that it's blocking you and you can't move forward. And everything that I have worked on, like right now I'm working on a positive affirmations audio program. I'm so excited about it. But then I have career programs, coaching, blogging, everything. Everything comes from that place where I have learned, and I'm still learning, how to think about something in such a way that serves me well. And this doesn't mean you're deluding yourself at all. It means you are thinking about it in a different way and opening yourself to opportunity and to growth and to actually realizing your potential instead of just dreaming about it. So my vision is to have an impact there, like really, really be able to touch people who are so, so stuck in their negative mind that they can't even see the opportunity right in front of them. And I think that's a worthwhile goal. So I'm hoping that prolific living will have a role to play there.
Well, I mean, with such positivity coming out of you, I don't see why it wouldn't. Is there any last thoughts you'd like to share?
Well, thank you, first of all, Joe. Thank you. I would say the one thing that helped me, especially going through that process of leaving my job, pleasing my family and still not caring about what they think, both of which are wrong. You just have to, you know, make sure you communicate and then move on, do what you want to do. I think it helped me to learn to trust myself. And this is something that, again, I didn't do well when I was in a corporate job or in an engineering school. I was always waiting for someone to tell me what to do or get approval on my crazy ideas or I don't know what. But trusting yourself is such a simple thing and yet so hard to do. So I would say I'm going to challenge you, right? The next thing that comes up, the next hard decision that comes up, or the next fork in the road, trust yourself to make the right decision. That's it. Just trust yourself and then do all the work that goes around it to come up with the right decision. But just doing that, I think it gave me so much more confidence to live life on my own terms. And that's what I would say. Trust yourself. It's going to be okay.
So I'd like you to plug your websites and let people know how they can connect with you.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, you can definitely find me at prolificliving.com. And that's just one of my websites. And from there, you can go anywhere. I have a free confidence building program that has been downloaded thousands of times. It's very useful. So if you are struggling with confidence and self-esteem, definitely sign up for that. Contact me on social media or through my website, Prolific Living, just like it sounds. That's you know, where I am everywhere. And I'm pretty active on social media. And pretty responsive. So say hi. Don't be shy. And tell me that you came through Joe Pardo's podcast. I'd love to know where you came from and how you found me.
Awesome. I'll have all that in the show notes at howtodream.co.
Wonderful. Thank you for having me on, Joe. It was a fun conversation.
Not a problem. It was great getting to know you better. And I really hope that my listeners go and check out your site.
Thank you. Talk to you later.
Take care.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Dreamers Podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Dreamers Podcast. Join us on Facebook at facebook.com/Dreamers Podcast. If you or someone you know would like to be a guest on the Dreamers Podcast, please send an email to j@jpar.co. This podcast is copyright 2014 by jpar.co.